Hey, Jesse, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, all is well, James.
I just wanted to reach out to you and say thank you. Because this past 3 weeks, I've been listening to you. And I feel like I've learned a lot of my from you so far with dealing with things growing up. And I just want to say thank you. I know I'm emotional. I know emotion's a devil, you know.
Yeah, that's fine.
But it's hard to not let it out and show you how much your words mean to me. I listened to you about forgiving my parents. You know, when I was younger, I grew up in the foster care system. And I aged out of it, you know, from like 6 years old to 18. And I held a lot of resentment towards my parents for not, you know, stepping up and coming and getting me out of there and trying to raise me, you know. And this weekend I visited my mom. I told her, I'm sorry for how I was when I was younger, but I also forgave her for everything. I told her to look me in the eye because she wouldn't look me in the eye because she knows she felt bad about it. And, you know, she held me. She told me, thank you so much for forgiving me. And I took her to go see my dad. He's in a nursing home. He had some strokes and he was bedridden. And I've been scared to go to see him because I wasn't prepared to, you know, forgive him. And I was always scared I was going to lose my chance because I hear all the time the people who speak on the line, they say, oh, my father died or my mother died. I never had the chance to forgive them. And before I listened to you, I was scared that I was going to steal that chance from myself.
Right. Amazing.
And I did it, and I feel such a weight lifted off of me.
Yeah.
I feel like I can live happier. And, man, I got to thank you with the thoughts were lies, because I would always be telling myself, you're worthless, you're nothing, you know. You don't deserve to be where you are or have what you have. And when I heard you say that and talk about the silent prayer, I was like, you know what? Thoughts are lies. They come from the devil. And I'm just going to let myself be in a silent prayer and let nothing manipulate me. And I was in peace. I was in silence. I didn't hear nothing. I didn't hear God. I didn't hear myself. I just sat in silence. And I was like the first time in my life where I just felt peace, you know?
Amazing. I understand.
And I'm just really grateful I came across you. And I'm sorry I've been talking a lot, but I just had to let you know how important you've been a part of my life with the short time I've been listening to you.
How old are you, James?
I'm 33.
Nice. If you stay with it, James, I'm telling you the truth. If you stay with it, it's just going to get better and clearer and better and clearer, and it's going to blow your mind, man. There are no words to express that the love that God has for us all and the freedom and the perfect peace that come with it. And at age 33, you are blessed to be waking up at such an early age.
Yes, sir. I already feel it. I feel I've been letting go of anger. I don't get upset anymore. And then when I'm even thinking about getting angry, I'm able to check it right away. It's like before I feel like if I was getting angry, I would get worked up and I would be upset that I have to deal with anger. But now I feel like when I'm getting angry, I'd be like, don't do that. That's not helpful. And I'm able to check it before it even gets to a point where I get worked up. And it's
Right
on. Man, is it making a difference in my life?
And now that you're not identifying with the spirit of anger, which is evil, by the way, and the nature of Satan, now that you're no longer identifying with it, if you never identify with it again, if it should come up, just watch it, check it, as you said, but don't call it you because it is not you. It has never been you. You just thought it was you. And it will be taken away from your body, your mind, and your body. It'll be done with. Just never identify anymore with it. And that's part of the ego death that you're going to have to go through now. And when it happens, just let it pass. Know that it's not you, and you'll be fine. All those spirits will be taken away from you.
Amazing.
Amazing, Jane. Well, stay with it. And stay with the silent prayer because you want to always be conscious. You want a conscious life, not an unconscious life. You want a conscious life, and you can have it if you work on it.
Yes, sir.
Amazing, James.
Thank you, Jesse. I appreciate you taking the call.
You're welcome, and thanks for calling. Call me again.
Yes, sir.
All right. Bye now. I'm telling you, folks, every human being on this side of heaven have to go through this. They're going through hell, and only a few want to overcome hell. I understand that, but if you want to overcome your hell that's in you, you can. It's up to you. It really is up to you. Or you can stay in your hell. No sweat off God's back, Christ's back, nor mine. You're welcome to stay in your hell, but you can do like James. You can overcome your hell. It's up to you.
15 states will vote in GOP contests on March 5th, with nearly 900 delegates up for grabs. Now, Haley has vowed to stay in through those races, but the former South Carolina governor has yet to win a contest against former President Trump, most recently losing the Michigan GOP primary by more than 40 points.
And she does take some pride already in being the last one standing against Trump. You're looking at a whole range of states on Super Tuesday that really is a microcosm of the party nationally. You're going to get a real test of Trump's support and of Haley's support nationwide. He and his campaign advisors behind the scenes are very optimistic he will win all of the states on Super Tuesday. But it still could be an indicator of some softness in his support across the country.
So you got to get out and vote today. Get out and vote. And I'm saying out loud, I'm just wondering. I am wondering if Nikki Haley is standing there trying to hurt Donald Trump and help the Democrats. Because Nikki Haley is a rhino Republican, and she knows that she's no good. She would not be a good anything. She's not even a good mother. She's not even with her children. So how would she be a good president? You know what I mean? Plus, it's not in her nature to do it. So I'm wondering, because according to the reports, she got money and support from the Democrats. So I'm wondering, she's on her little ego trip trying to hurt Trump and in return hurting the American people. According to Yahoo.com and PostMillennial.com, Donald Trump was handed a major victory on Monday when the Supreme Court ruled that he cannot be excluded from Colorado primary election ballot over his actions surrounding January 6th. Jamie Raskin said he is working with other Democratic Congress members to remove Trump from the ballot through legislation. Watch this through NBC, from NBC and CNN.
The high court just said moments ago that Mr. Trump can stay on this year's presidential ballot in Colorado.
A Republican frontrunner is now permitted to run for president, not only in Colorado, but across all 50 states.
Unfortunately for America, the court isn't necessarily wrong that this is the way the framers wanted it to be. They wanted Congress, the people who are closest to their constituents, to be able to make the rules and the laws.
I am working with a number of my colleagues, including Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Eric Swalwell, to revive legislation that we had to set up a process by which we could determine that someone who committed insurrection is disqualified by Section 3 of the 14th Amendment.
You can't save a people from themselves. If they're determined to reelect him after he organized that insurrection, then there's nothing to stop the people from doing that.
Amazing. They don't, isn't that, just think about that. Smoke on it. You're supposed to have the right to vote for whomever you want. And they don't want you to have that right to vote. It's unfortunate that you have a right to vote for whomever you want to vote for. Did you ever imagine for a moment that you would hear or see anything like this in this country? If it wasn't for freedom of speech, I would say that is insane. It's insane statements, that's for sure. But how can you not want the people to vote for whomever they want? Just because they want to vote for, just because you don't like them, that means that unfortunately, it's unfortunately that the people got to vote for who they want. You're voting for who you want. Grandpa, tell me about the good old days. I would bring back those voter days of when only people who own property would be able to vote. Settle, done. If you don't own land, you can't vote. Go sit down. Then we wouldn't have all this mess, voting for programs and voting for colors and voting for this and that. But good news for the great white hope and you and me. According to Politico.com, Colorado's chief election officer was disappointed in the Supreme Court allowing Trump to remain on the ballot. They're like, what the? And overturning her state's Supreme Court, which rules him ineligible to run for office again. Watch this from MSNBC.
Americans have been voting all across the nation in early voting those Super Tuesday states, including here in Colorado. And Coloradans and Americans deserve to know whether Trump is a qualified candidate. My larger reaction is disappointment. I do believe that states should be able under our Constitution to bar oath-breaking insurrectionists. And ultimately, this decision leaves open the door for Congress to act to pass authorizing legislation. But we know that Congress is a nearly non-functioning body. So ultimately, it will be up to the American voters to save our democracy in November.
Essentially, you cannot take somebody out of a race because an opponent would like to have it that way.
Amazing. Thank you, Trump. What an even, nasty female. You still want females in leadership roles? Look what they've done to the homes. Look what they've done to the schools. Look what they've done to our government. And now look what they're doing to the country. And here is some good news, even more good news, for the great white hope, Donald Trump. NBC, the Supreme Court on Wednesday agreed to decide whether former President Donald Trump can claim presidential immunity over criminal election interference charges, adding a new hurdle to a trial taking place. Watch this from MSNBC.
What it says is that they are corrupted political actors who act in bad faith. And at some point, people in the media, people at home, and people sitting in the White House have to stop pretending that the Supreme Court is some kind of benign, trying to do its best institution and start to realize that there are six Republicans, not conservatives, Republicans on the Supreme Court who view it as their job to help the Republican Party. And until we do something about that, until we take away that power, until we draw the line on them there, they will continue to do this. They will help Trump. They will take away abortion rights. They will end affirmative action. They will liberalize gun rights. They will do all of it until we stop them, because we will keep losing every day we allow these six Republicans in robes to rule over all of us.
I like Big Mama with the fro. I'm going on my fro, my American fro back. You notice that? Yeah. Nice. Having a hissy fit. Like Big Mama. And on the, at least I know one of, all the Supreme Court said, no, this man could be on the ballot. Leave this man alone. Big Mama don't like that at all. Big Mama don't like you. And she likes everyone. Amazing. What the? We need to bring back common sense. It just ain't common no more. And coming back, though, slowly but surely. Speaking of common sense, the New York Post, this is from the New York Post, common sense is in short supply. The career policy makers in our nation capital are committed to old, unchallenged orthodoxies that have produced nothing but failure. Trump has presented a common sense plan, provide military and economic assistance to Ukraine as a loan. Trump has said, if you got to get their money, loan it to them so they can pay us back, right? He said any further agreement to provide aid would be contradictional, not charity. He would be on, okay, Ukraine, you want some more money? We'll loan it to you, but we're not going to give it to you. Watch this. Listen to this from RSBN.
Yes. More. $60 billion with a B. They want to give him $60 billion more. And I said, wait a minute. Do it this way. Loan them the money. If they can make it, they pay us back. If they can't make it, they don't have to pay us back. Loan them the money. Put it as a form of a loan. Why should you just hand it over to them? Do it as a form of a loan. I do that with athletes. They can't quite, you know, like a professional golfer, who I think is very good. They don't have any money, but they have a lot of talent.
That's what I do with our entrepreneur program. We have an entrepreneur program where we help men start businesses, or if they're already in business, we show them how to enhance it. And if they need money, we'll loan it to them. We have a credit union we started. We'll loan it if they're part of the program, but not give it to them. When you loan it to them, they know they got to pay it back or they get no more. But when you give someone something, they're going to always have a handout. Donald Trump would do it that way, where the right-wing Republicans and Democrats just been giving Ukraine money, and Ukraine going to always have a handout as long as they know they get it free. Whether you like it or not, whether you accept it or not, whether you believe it or not, whether you challenge it or not, there is a difference between men and women. And I know a lot of men have not overcome, you know, their mama, their mother, so they have her mindset, her emotions. They think and act like a woman. They feel like when they do exactly what women do. But once they overcome it, you see the difference. And in good old days, the difference stood out. And when you run into it, you recognize it. Even if you don't like the person, you still recognize, you know what? There's something different here. I might not understand what it is, but there is something different about this. Even that liberal far left, Sonia Sotomayor recognize it. She recognizes it when she sees it. And she's like, what the? This is from CNN. I've said over and over again that men are the light of the world, the salt of the earth. Now, the light may be gone dim because they have been turned away from the fathers. And so the light might be dim. And it is if you've been turned away. Not might be. If you've been turned away from your father, the light is out. And the salt has no flavor. But once you return back to the Father, the light comes back on and the salt regroups its flavor. So even Sonia recognizes a real man when she sees one. And she like, what the? Sonia Sotomayor appeared before a liberal audience in Wednesday, in Washington, and discussed her relationship with Justice Clarence Thomas. Watch this from C-SPAN.
Justice Thomas is the one justice in the building that literally knows every employee's name. He's the first one who will go up to someone when you're walking with him and say, is your son okay? How's your daughter doing in college? He's the first one that, when my stepfather died, sent me flowers in Florida. He is a man who cares deeply about the court as an institution, about the people who work there, but about people. He has a different vision than I do about how to help people and about their responsibilities to help themselves. I've often said to people, Justice Thomas believes that every person can pull themselves up by their bootstraps. I believe that some people can't get to their bootstraps without help. They need someone to help them lift their foot up so they can reach those bootstraps. That's a very different philosophy of life.
That's the difference between daddy and mama. Daddy believes that you can do it on your own, and it's best. Mama believes that mama got to help you, which keeps you down, really. And it keeps you relying on someone else helping you. That's the difference between daddy and mama. And that's why daddies have to stand between their children and the mama so that the mama don't destroy them by feeling sorry for them. You need a hand up. And then the kids grow up to be 50, 60, 70 years old. Mama still got to help them up. Amazing. But she's right about Justice Clarence Thomas. I've been fortunate enough to meet him, sit down with him a couple of times or so, and it's like talking to a country boy. He truly has those country values that the older black people lived without even trying to teach them to you, but was just the example of them. And she's so right about that. And being a U.S. Supreme Court justice has not made him or changed him to be phony. He's rooted in that. There are some blacks who are starting to say, why for y'all come back? These were not, we mentioned this lady at least who said, from Africa, things were not like this with white people running the country. White people need to come back. White people wouldn't be putting up all this mess. Look what's happening. I think we had a video, where's it from, Hunter? From TikTok. Watch this.
Let the power go back to the white people. We as black people, we just have to accept that we failed dismally. For 28 years, we were given chance to prove ourselves and we failed dismally. This thing of voting one black person after the other, it won't help us with anything. Let power go back to white people. When white people were governing this country, irrespective of whatever that they were doing, but our parents were working. Kids used to get bursaries to go to universities. Town used to be clean. There was job everywhere. You apply, you get a job. Even if you didn't have qualifications, you could work in hotels, you could work wherever. You could work even in the farms. There were farms where people could work. Black people are a dismal failure. They can't govern. Let the power go back to white people. Let us just swallow our pride and give this white people power back so that the country can go back to normal. We have to accept that.
Amazing. Even over in Mommy Africa, they want the white people to come back. come back, white people, come back. Things were so much better when you were in control. Down in Florida, they're telling the people, the party is over. The party is over, they're telling the folks. WFLA.com and NY Post, New York Post, right? Just as Florida is preparing for spring breakers, the city of Miami Beach said they're done with spring break. Police Chief Wayne Jones said this year, tourists can expect a large police presence than ever seen before. Watch this from today.
Spring break crowds in Miami Beach are starting to swell. Why Miami Beach?
It's the best place to go for spring break.
But one thing's already clear. Those flocking to South Beach for some fun in the sun are aware that the rules are going to be very different this year.
If you plan on coming to Miami Beach for spring break, don't do it. All of the streets are blocked down here. Do not come down here.
All of it coming after violence and bad behavior marred the last few years. Police trying to monitor seas of out-of-control partiers on Ocean Drive and gunshots that have prompted stampedes and claimed lives.
I guarantee you, if they kept the blacks away from the spring break, you wouldn't have any of that. If it was just all white kids down there spring breaking, it would just be fun and drinking and having fun. It wouldn't be all that. They wouldn't have to stop it. Why don't you love the blacks enough to say, hey, drop your anger, forgive your mothers, return to your fathers, stop blaming the white man. The white man or slavery had nothing to do with it. They want the blacks acting this way, all South Africa and everywhere. This is not normal. And black people, your leaders, which you should not have anyway, they don't care about you. They don't love you. It's about using you. They want you acting this way. It gets money and perceived power for them. I guarantee you, if you took control of your own life, you wouldn't do these things. Because you'll look out for you. Some of you may remember this story where they tried to cry racism again, right? This is from March 1. This is the story I was confused with. March 1, 2016. New York Times. The allegations set social media ablaze. Three black students at University of Albany have been attacked on a city bus by a group of white men who use racial slurs. Watch this from GMA.
This morning, three college students under fire for what's seen in the surveillance video.
Hi, yes, I'd like to report the fact that me and my friends were just jumped on a bus for being black.
Just after 1 a.m. on January 30th, Ariella Gudio, Alexis Briggs, and Aisha Burwell, all 20-year-old college students at the University at Albany, claiming they were the only black students on a city bus when they were called racial slurs and hit by several white males. They say they were surrounded by students and felt threatened. They fought back. Two of the girls called 911.
It was a racially fueled crime. We were three black girls jumped by like 20 white people.
University staff and students immediately rallying behind the girls. But within hours of that rally, an Instagram video posted online showing what looks like the girls approaching the men first. The university and city immediately launching an investigation.
I ask all of us to not rush to judgment.
Leading to the release of this surveillance video from inside the bus that night, witnesses on board telling police it wasn't the men, but the women who were the aggressors. But the girls maintain they are the victims. Civil rights activists now concerned about what this case could mean for future racial crimes.
When there's another incident or a similar incident, will the community believe us? And that is very troubling for many people.
Amazing. It's all about perceived power and money. It's not about any of that. And they'll just lie, according to the report. I mentioned the Six Flags Over Georgia incident that recently happened. 11alive.com. 11alive.com. the opening of the Six Flags over Georgia was marked by chaotic scenes involving fights and a security clear out that ended with a 15-year-old shot by an officer nearby. Watch this on Fox.
Was chaos and panic on opening day at Six Flags over Georgia after officials say 500 to 600 people ran through the park fighting. This all led to an exchange of gunfire right outside of the property that sent at least one person to the hospital.
Videos of the incident have been circulating online. They show a herd of parkgoers stampeding out of the park property, just trying to get to safety at the sound of those gunshots. They say that the culprits seem to be underaged kids. In a statement from a spokesperson, they said, quote, our goal is to provide safe, fun entertainment. It is incredibly disappointing that our community is disrupted at public events throughout the region by groups of underage youth.
Crazy that a group of kids could cause all this. It was a real big group of kids. I've never seen a group of kids like that outside of a high school. Parents need to just control the kids better, probably, or
well, America, I must report to you that fun and games are over now. You're not going to be able to go to the Six Flags over Georgia or anywhere now and have fun. These black kids have been given permission, a pink slip, to run wild, run crazy, act out, attack, and do whatever they want. You're not safe anymore at these events. If you thought that was bad, and it was, and it is, authorities look for a woman accused of hitting, stomping on two people in front of her crying child at an Omaha gas station. Watch this from X.
Those are along the wall. She's there for a while, and there's some sort of disagreement about buying the charger.
I'll pay for it. That's cool. But if it doesn't work in my car, can I return it?
There's a mix-up, and she starts getting upset.
No, I just feel like I'm being discriminated because I think I don't know what I'm saying.
Then she says some profanities, which upsets a couple of the customers. The yelling begins, and so does the little girl's crying. And then things get physical. After hitting a woman two more times, she turns on the other one. After getting the child in the car, she comes back, and it gets real ugly.
Oh, no, here she comes again. What?
Ma'am.
What'd you say?
Ma'am.
What'd you say?
Ma'am.
Ma'am. What'd you say? What?
Ma'am.
What'd you say?
Ma'am.
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 Why he didn't go and grab her? Or something. Call the police. She just picked up something to hit the woman up here in the head or somewhere. The black attitude is nasty and vicious and evil. And don't think they're just doing it to the white people. They're doing it to each other too, because that's how evil operates. It's inside the person. So it'll turn on anyone that is near it, even their own children. She doesn't care about the camera being there. And those white people didn't even bother to fight back to protect themselves. And it just brought out the worst in her. She went out, put the kid in the car, and came back with some more because they were afraid. The whites were afraid. That was evil. That was nasty. And that's the attitude of most black people. But they've been allowed to get away with it. Watch this from newsmat.com/au. A 14-year-old with autism could have been killed in an attack filmed at a popular pier in Melbourne. Watch this from 9.news or 9news. Watch this.
Blow after sickening blow. Year 9 student Dakota cowers as she's subjected to a brutal bashing.
When I see my daughter's face, I was beside myself.
The 14-year-old who lives with autism was walking along Altona Pier with a friend on Wednesday afternoon when she was set upon by a group of 5 teenage girls.
They thought it was funny.
The footage, too confronting to play in full, shows Dakota being punched, her hair pulled, and an energy drink poured on her head.
The paramedic counted how many times my daughter had a blow to the head, and it was over 55.
Wow.
She could have been killed.
The attack only came to an end when a man intervened.
That's enough, man. She's little, yeah?
Adding insult to injury, the video was posted online and sent to the teen's older sister.
To see your daughter go through that, like, and you're just helpless. My daughter won't even go back to school now. So there's her education. How can this keep happening, like, to our children? Like, it's not right.
It's going to happen to your children, white people, because you allow it. And the blacks have been given permission to attack you like that. And they don't care. They hate you. They really hate their mothers, but they hate you because you're weak. If fathers were to stand between mothers and keep them from doing this to the children, the kids wouldn't grow up angry and evil like that. We're at a point now where women literally believe they don't need men. They're such on an ego trip that they don't believe that they need men at all. They do, and they cry at night because they don't have one, but they give the false impression they don't need one. But men think they need women. Women don't think they need men. That's how bad it has gotten. And that's a setup because women are being used. Women don't have love. Only evil comes through women. And Satan knows that, and all his little demon working at other people know that. And the people who work from the government, they know that Satan working through them and the women. And yet, especially with the black women, they use the black women. But not just black women. Women, I don't need a man. I don't need a man. And men go, yes, we need women. Watch this from TikTok.
Do we need men?
No.
Do you need a man?
No.
Do we need a man?
Oh, God.
Do we need men?
No.
Why?
No.
Do we need men?
No.
Do women need men in this world? Do we need men?
No.
Why?
Because we can be strong, independent women.
Do we need men?
No.
Not why?
Nobody needs men.
Do we need women?
Yes.
We do. Why?
Because women are awesome.
Do we need women?
Of course.
Why?
Yeah, you do need women.
Because they're beautiful.
Do we need women?
Women make us feel compassionate and affectionate.
Do we need women?
Of course we do.
Do we need women?
Yes.
Why?
Because they're hot.
And what else?
They're hot.
So it sounds like there's only one reason men need the women, right? But this is what's happening, and this is not good. And once you believe a lie, you don't want to hear the truth. Most people don't, but those who do, they change from evil to good. Watch this from TikTok.
I have an equal partner. I don't have to make him a list. I have an equal partner. I don't have to ask him to help with things around the house. I have an equal partner. He knows how to shop at the grocery store without pictures. I have an equal partner. He doesn't expect me to handle everything alone. I have an equal partner. He plans date nights without me having to beg for it. I have an equal partner. He does his own laundry. I have an equal partner. He makes the kids' lunches in the morning. I have an equal partner. He doesn't believe that just because he goes to work, he shouldn't have to do anything when he gets home. I have an equal partner. He takes genuine interest in me and my interests. I have an equal partner. He takes our kids to bed and knows their teachers' names. I have an equal partner. He doesn't make me feel bad if I'm not in the mood. I have an equal partner. He acknowledges and appreciates what I do and tells me that often. I have an equal partner. He does basic adult tasks without being asked. I have an equal partner. He makes and takes our son to his therapy appointments.
Amazing. I still need therapists. What she says, she has a beta male that can't lead her and she's miserable. I can interpret that for her. She's unhappy. That's why they have a therapist, because they're still unhappy. She's married to a beta male. Why even bother marrying something like that? Why? Why don't you stand up before it's too late? By working on yourself. See that you have the anger. Go forgive your mother. Don't ask for forgiveness. Forgive her and God will forgive you. And your father for not protecting you from your mother. He can help it. Fathers love their children. And when they leave the mothers. They do not leave the children. Let me show you hell and damnation. This is going to make you tremble in your boots. Because you know it's nothing but darkness. You know it's evil. You know it's pure hell. NewYorkCourts.gov. Justice, quote unquote, Diane Renwick announced that on February 14, oral arguments before the appellate division, First Department were held for the first time by an all African American bench. Watch this from New York State Bar Association. Watch this one.
Really, history was made yesterday at the appellate division First Department when we had an all African American bench preside over oral arguments for the first time in the history of the court. And what was even more special is that you had five black women.
Today's oral argument will be heard by the first all-black bench in this court's 130-year history. And we all happen to be women.
You know, I have to say that it was legendary. And even the attorneys who appeared before us indicated how they were honored to come before the panel.
Beta, you're looking right into hell. These are the same type of female that raised the children that are out there fighting right now and breaking in and snatching and grabbing and robbing and beating up white people. They came from those kind of mothers. And could you imagine had it been an all-white female court? Would they be bragging about it? Would they have been bragging about it? They could get away with their black and the stupid white men, if it's true, they say, oh, we feel so honored. What, you're feeling honored about being in hell? That's where you are. Can you imagine walking into a court and seeing a panel of demons? I'll be like, take me to jail. I don't need no trial. I'm already in jail facing these evil females. You know what? Handcuff me. Tie me to a tree. Handcuff me. This is hell. If ever we needed men in our country, we need it now. As it used to be in the good old days when boys were boys and men were men. We need all real men in charge. It ain't going to work. Nothing's going to work but that. Watch this from Breitbart.com. Donald Trump promised to use his second term to defend Christian values. Watch this from Forbes.
And I really believe it's the biggest thing missing from this country. It's the biggest thing missing. We have to bring back our religion. We have to bring back Christianity in this country. But Americans of faith are not a threat to our country. Americans of faith are the soul of our country. They are. They're the soul of our country. You're going to say as you want, and you're going to believe, and you're going to believe in God. You're going to believe in God because God is here and God is watching. God is watching. And God probably can't believe what he's seeing.
He
I will also take historic action to defeat the toxic poison of gender ideology and restore the timeless truth that God created two genders, male and female. They want to silence me because I will never let them silence you. And in the end, they're not after me. They're after you. I just happen to be standing in the way. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Amazing. Old school. That's what we need. So return to your natural state by forgiving your mother and return to your fathers.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning again.
It's kind of like people who go to, like, live in caves or people who fast for, like, a really long time, and they're denying, they're going to extreme lengths to deny the physical world in order to purify their souls and purify their bodies. Essentially taking the joke too far, in my opinion. So there's this thing called pillar saints, and back in old Christian days, there are Christians who would go and live on top of stone pillars on a little platform for years and years and years.
So when you say back in Christian days, like 400,000, 840, 40 million, 60,000, 980,000 years ago?
That's exactly what I mean.
And so when you say they were...
40.
When you say that they would sit on pillars, meaning that they would sit on those little Indian, you know how the Indian people sit on the pillar?
Yeah,
whatever,
right.
You call them?
Right. Cross-legged and like right. Going like this.
You don't mean that.
Not quite. I mean, they are on pillars. They're not necessarily sitting like that, but they live there on the pillar.
On a rock or soft pillar.
Like a man-made stone pillar. A man-made stone tower.
And so they climb this rock, and they sit up there on a pillar?
And they just lay there.
Oh, so they just lay there.
Right, and they call it a Christian ascetic, which means, according to Oxford.com, an ascetic is a person who practices severe self-discipline and abstention.
Abstention from what?
From the physical world.
But they're still in the physical world on top of that rock.
That's my point, too. I hear you. <ya.
laughs> And so they think by doing this that they are cleansing their soul.
Right.
That their soul is for salvation.
Right, right.
But how would that help the soul by not eating or sitting on a rock?
Well, they, in my opinion, they convince themselves that that it will be easier to not yield to any physical temptations if they keep themselves in this very specific place. It's more of like a challenge. Like they're challenging themselves. Okay, if I keep myself here, it'll be harder to not be tempted by the physical world.
And do they eat while they're up there?
They have to, yeah, or else they'll just starve to death. But so, people bring them food, you know.
No, what's the purpose of they eating?
To get them through. Exactly. But this first clip.
They get free food.
Right. The first most famous guy is called Simeon Stylites. So this first clip here will explain it from Wikipedia.com. Simeon Stylites was a Syrian Christian ascetic who achieved notability by living 37 years on a small platform on top of a pillar near Aleppo in modern Syria. So this is from Rad History.
Watch this.
Man who lived on top of a pillar for 37 years. Formerly known as Simeon Stylites the Elder, he spent more of his life on the pillar than he spent on the ground. Simeon became a zealous Christian as a teenager. After reading the Beatitudes, which are a series of blessings Jesus describes in the Gospels, he desired to leave the material world behind and pursue a life dedicated purely to God. He joined a monastery, but the other monks there thought that he was so extreme in his denial of all things physical that they told him he wasn't suited for monastic life and asked him to leave. His intensely ascetic lifestyle had given him a reputation, and this reputation attracted crowds of pilgrims who would come to visit him. They would ask him for spiritual counsel and prayer, interfering with his desire to do literally nothing except for pray ever. Simeon decided to move to the top of a pillar he found. The first pillar that Simeon lived on was only 10 feet tall, but he would later move to other taller pillars. The last one he moved to was reportedly 50 feet tall. At the top was his platform, which was 3 square feet and had a baluster around it.
How you get up there?
A ladder.
Oh, because I didn't see an elevator unless it was inside.
A ladder, yeah.
And so the people went and asked a hungry man on top of a rock to pray for them.
Right, because since he's denying himself all these physical temptations, he must be a higher spiritual being. You know, his spirit must be more pure than others.
But he looked crazy up there on that rock.
Yeah.
Like he need a mental institute when he get down.
Yeah, you make a good point.
What the?
What the?
So, according to Wikipedia.com, Simeon inspired many imitators for the next century. Ascetics living on pillars were a common sight.
Really? This is over in where?
Modern day Syria.
Oh, that's where Allah Abba people live, right?
allegedly. And people do it with, as we'll see in the next clip, people do it with fasting too.
Do what?
Purposefully try to deny themselves certain physical things in order to achieve a spiritual goal.
So people think that by fasting from food, right?
Yeah, it's a way to purify their...
Is it food that they're fasting from?
Yeah.
They think they're purifying what?
Their soul, their spirit. We can react to what this guy says about it and see if he's on point or not.
This is from the brand Sunday.com. Why do Christians fast? The main focus is to shift our focus completely 100% on God. Waiting on God. He's waiting on you. On God, instead of fulfilling our personal fleshly desires. This is from Southern Seminary. Watch this.
The most important thing about fasting is to realize that fasting is to be done for a purpose, a God-centered, biblical purpose. So many people say, well, I've heard about fasting, so I decided to try it, and boy, I was so hungry, and all I could think about was a growling of my stomach, and I thought, well, if I ever get through this, I'll never do this again. Whenever they're hungry, they think, man, how much longer till this is over? Their whole thought is, how long till it's over? And that's not what fasting is about. When your stomach growls, when your head aches, and you say, man, I'm hungry, your next thought's going to be, oh, that's right, I'm hungry because I'm fasting today. If your next thought is, and how much longer till it's over, wrong motive. It's going to be just a bad experience. But your next thought should be, oh, and I'm fasting for this biblical purpose. So, for example, let's say you're fasting for the purpose of praying for your spouse or for the salvation of your child. And you think, oh, man, I'm really hungry. Oh, that's right, I'm hungry because I'm fasting today. Oh, and that's right, I'm fasting for the purpose of praying for my wife, for my child. So what do you do all day long? You're praying.
That's insane. You might as well go sit up on that rock with that man.
Right.
That's hungry.
Right.
Is he serious or is he joking?
No, he's serious. He's
How
serious.
Do you fast and pray from somebody's salvation?
Yeah, you don't. It's all in your head, in my opinion. And
clearly in your head.
Yeah, so people will think to themselves, they will think thoughts to themselves and say, I'm going to fast today. And I'm going to pray on this, that, or the other thing. I'm going to pray for my wife or pray for my son. And it's going to purify that prayer. Because if I'm hungry and my stomach hurts and my head hurts, you know, I'll be tempted to be distracted from that prayer. But if I overcome that, I will focus 100% on that prayer. But it's another way of playing God, really, because, in my opinion, because we fast naturally. We go through cycles throughout the year where... You know, we'll naturally just not eat one day or the next.
I don't. I eat every day.
Well, of course. No, of course, that's not true. you ever just not feel like eating? Like,
right.
our body naturally does it. We don't have to force it.
Yeah. I find that happening to me now where I only eat, most of the time, only one meal a day.
Yeah.
Rare do I eat during the day. And somehow or another, it just happened on its own. I didn't really plan to do it that way. And I'll just get home and I'll eat a light dinner, early, so I have to lay up on that. And it just came about, but I didn't plan it.
Yeah.
So, good point. And so, that was from Southern Seminary?
Yeah.
What a mess. The imagination is a mess.
Right, so people will try to force it. They'll plan out a day. This is when I'm going to fast. And they'll try to force the issue instead of just allowing it to happen.
This tattoo thing, right?
Right.
This is like a religious thing, too? Or is it?
Right. People think of tattoos as a spiritual thing nowadays. I mean,
do you mean that?
No. According to them, it would be positive.
How?
Spiritual reasons. Maybe Machine Gun Kelly can explain to us how.
This is from page6.com. Machine Gun Kelly isn't afraid of a little ink. The singer, whose real name is
Colson
Baker, is completely covered in tattoos, including a few large scale designs that surely took tons of time, patience, and pain to complete. Okay, here is, first of all, does it explain who Gun Kelly is?
He's just a famous rapper, very famous white rapper.
Oh, all right. This is from GQ.
Two-one-six is the area code, so you know that. East, yeah. Right there. If I'm ever homesick, I could just take 71 North. There's a couple, like, 3 a.m. tattoos. Like, the f*** off right there was clearly, like, a 3:30 in the
What's
morning.
What's that about?
It's just, like, whenever I'm sitting right here, it's just, like, this is one of my favorites right here. I got hit by a double-decker bus in Manchester. There's me, yeah. Like 7 a.m, we were looking for weed. So I saw some guy and I was like, that guy looks like he would have it for sure. Took one step into the street. The bus was going full speed.
Amazing. And so this guy, Machine Gun Kelly, put all those tattoos for what reason? Spiritual? Or because he got hit by a bus?
Right, because he got hit by a bus. but so he has, part of the reason why he's famous is because of his tattoos. He's got tattoos all over his body, right? And they tell the story of his life.
What a messed up life.
And so recently, according to TMZ.com, Machine Gun Kelly has unveiled his most dramatic tattoo yet, a layer of solid black ink across almost his entire upper torso and in between a cross symbol, across his chest. So he covered up all those tattoos with black ink.
And so he has, so you don't see him, he covered up the bus too?
Yeah, and his decision was, according to TMZ, his decision was deeply a personal one, according to his tattoo artist. He explained to her that all of his tats were too chaotic for him, and he was seeking change and order in his life, explaining that the blackout cover-up was for spiritual purposes only.
Come on, man! Maybe he should go sit on that rock with a ascetic. So here's where he covered up his tattoos. What's trending?
What's trending?
Why is this?
Machine Gun Kelly just debuted his new look on Instagram, and fans are having mixed reactions. Machine Gun Kelly has always obviously been a fan of tattoos, but his newest one is shocking fans. His newest tattoo is completely black and covers up his entire upper torso and most of his previous tattoos. Fans of the star shared their concern in the comments, with one user writing, "Ugh, I wish you didn't do that. I loved your tattoos. I hate when people comment on tattoos. I have 15, but I feel like this is a cry for help. You continuously keep doing dramatic, drastic things to erase who you were in the past, it seems like. I don't know, man. I love you, but this is a lot."
Say that again. That's crazy.
Yeah. So we could play this last one real quick. It's just looks maxing.
Okay. This is from Teaching Men Fashion. This is about look maxing. I never heard of that before this morning. Watch this.
Looks maxing is any attempt to improve your appearance. Anything from a simple shower all the way to getting surgery. I will show you how to looks max every part of your appearance. All of you watching can go from an average 4 out of 10 guy to an 8 out of 10 with no surgeries. 1. Body maxing. Body maxing is shaping your body to an ideal physique. This is the most important part of looks maxing, as nothing else will matter if you're overweight. Two, teeth maxing. Having great teeth is an important biological marker that can make you be perceived as more successful, healthier, and thus more attractive. This is exactly why people will pay up $20,000 to surgeons to get veneers installed. Number three, testosterone maxing. The more testosterone you have, the more you max out as a man. Four, skin maxing. This is the process of achieving smooth, evenly covered skin. Five, hair maxing. Number six, scent maxing. Scent is one area you can completely control in seconds and max out your attractiveness. That's it for me today. You have now fully looks maxed.
Isn't that real though, Joe? Be honest.
No, that's real.
And why would the guys want to look that way though?
In order to appeal to be more attractive.
To what?
To appeal to women.
Is that real?
Yeah.
So they got something, you can go to that guy, he'll do all that for you?
Well, he's just giving advice, but you can go, you know, in order to change the shape of your face or the shape of your eyes or mouth or hair or body, people go to great lengths sometimes to get surgery in order to change the look of their body.
And so that's what women do.
Yeah, of course.
And so the guys are doing that too?
Yeah, well, in order to appeal to the women, they have to become like the women.
They don't know that their masculinity will shine through their body and that's what's attractive?
No. No, they don't know that.
Why don't they know that?
Because they think of masculinity as having very strict physical attributes. Your body has to look this way. Your face has to look this way. You have to smell a certain way.
But women love fat men if they're confident or they got money.
Yeah, they don't know that.
Really?
Yeah, they don't know that.
Women don't care what you look like long as you are secure within yourself or you have money or some right. type of fame. Crazy, what a crazy world,
we live in. I was just going to say that.
Amazing stories.
Yeah. Anyway.
What a mess.
I'm going to go hop on top of my pillar.
Have you ever fasted?
Yeah, not on purpose.
Oh, you never like say no. I'm a fast when we.
No,
I remember
there's been plenty of days. Still, I don't know. Once every month and once every couple of months, I just won't eat for a day and a half.
But you're already skinny.
Yeah, but it's good. It's good for you.
All right, don't fall out. Don't pass out.
I'm not skinny.
No, that's right. You're not skinny.
Body maxing.
You're body maxing.
It's the way God made me.
Nick said you look like that guy that guy with the tattoo.
I look like Machine Gun Kelly?
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. This is an amazing story, though, Sean. Thank you. You find some of I don't know how you get these stories, but you find some amazing stuff. Thank you. Last word.
Last word. You know, having tattoos doesn't mean you're not going to get into heaven. If you think that that's the case, that's going to be the case. But
you said having them doesn't mean you're going to get into heaven?
Having them doesn't mean you're not going to get into heaven.
Having them doesn't mean you're not going into heaven. Does having them mean you're going to get into heaven?
No, it doesn't mean it either way. But those things that the Bible says, like, you know, if you have tattoos, you're not going to get into heaven. If you eat too much pork, you're not going to get into heaven.
Having tattoos means that you're already in hell.
Right.
That's why you put on the tattoo, trying to find heaven, waiting on God.
That's a good point.
Amazing.
Anyway, let's get to some calls.
Thank you, Sean.
Yep.
But this is what happens. When you're black and you don't want to be a part of the club anymore. This is why another reason, but not the only reason. It's not even the primary reason, but it's encouraged. This is why black violence and black people are so angry, because it is encouraged by their leadership. They're already angry because they're coming from angry mothers. They're mad at the mothers. But when they go out into the world and they set themselves up to be led by someone, they're going to get even worse because they feel like victims. And it was interesting to see that. I want to just quickly play that soundbite. of Charles Barkley so that y'all would know what we were talking about. Watch this from CNN.
Big sigh.
First of all, I'm just going to say this. If I see a black person walking around with Trump mugs, I'm going to punch him in the face.
Charles.
No, Gail.
You really can't say that because, A, you don't mean that.
I mean that sincerely.
No, he mean it. Why you say you don't mean it, Gail? What y'all? That's Oprah friend. Oprah friend, Gail. He mean it. And it's interesting that because he's black and liberal, he can say that and get away with it. If a white man said that, same thing. If I saw a white person what's the president's name now? Biden hat, punch him in the face. What do you think would happen? That would be all over the news, and that female would be saying, you can't say that. They would pray that he would say that so they could go after the white man. Last night we had the forum, so I didn't get a chance, thank God, to watch Joe Biden's little speech last night. I did catch, when I got home, which was late, I did catch a few of the sound bites, and this morning, and my producer, Sean, pulled up some this morning and put it into the package. And so I was thinking last night, and this morning, and while talking to Sean, about the little address thing Biden gave, and the reaction of the people that work for us, the senators and Congress people, how they were acting and reacting. That was a black female Democrat and a woman from Allahu Akbar country who was in Congress, and they were holding up signs like stop genocide or something like that. I forgot their names. And there was Marjorie Greene, and she had on a something like say her name shirt and hat and stuff like that. And when Biden walked in, she ran over to him and, you know how they greet you while you're walking in, and gave him a little pin that says, say her name. And during the little talk that Joe Biden was giving, the grown-ups were really acting out. They were acting like educated women, females, and men, too, was acting out with no grown-up experience at all. Insane. And I was thinking, it's amazing how all that has changed, too. Because I remember when the president, whether you agree with them or not, would give what they call a State of the Union address. It was classy. Whether you agreed or not, it was classy. It wasn't rowdy. It wasn't yelling and screaming and carrying on. And these people that are yelling and screaming and carrying on like that, they're only doing it for thrills, because nothing good comes from it. It's all for thrills. To feel good, knowing that other people are seeing them yelling and screaming and carrying on, and then to be talked about on the news or in the news right after it. It really just for thrill, it served no purpose. And there's a way to disagree with the president, like they used to do in the good old days. You vote him out, you vote bills that you don't agree with him when you try to pass bill that doesn't agree with what you want or whatever, right? But you don't get into a public square like that and yell and scream and carry on. Aren't you like too old for that? And you're supposed to be professionals representing the United States of America, and everybody around the country, around the world, looking at you. I remember we used to play sound bites from other countries where their governmental, the government representative were acting like that animal, yelling at each other, fighting in some cases in other countries. And now our government act like radical, far left, Black Lives Matter people. Say her name. Fox is reporting that Marjorie Taylor Greene, but for those who don't know, she's a quote-unquote Republican out of Georgia. Marjorie Taylor Greene confronted Biden ahead of his speech concerning the death of college student Lakin Riley. With Biden accepting from her a commemorative pin, including a photo of Riley. Watch this from X.
And the State of the Union is Lakin Riley. America's been under attack because of Joe Biden's open border policies with over 10 million illegal aliens invading our country.
I don't know how to say the name.
Lakin Riley. Say your name, Mr. President.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mr. President.
You're about like, where am I? Why am I here? Is this a party? And Marjorie Taylor Greene looked like a thug. It doesn't look like she's at a State of the Union address. She looked like a thug. She dressed like a thug. There's nothing professional about that at all. But it's for the thrill of it. It's all the thrill. My country's gone. According to CNN, Nancy Pelosi reacted to Biden's ad-libbed moment using the word illegal because when Marjorie Greene yelled, "Say her name!" It scared Biden, looked like. Biden like, what the? What the? And then he picked up the little pen that she gave him. And then he said, Lincoln. He didn't say Lake in, he said Lincoln. And I think that they said Lincoln, it was some type of sports guy from back time or somewhere. Because she scared him. And he picked the pen up and said it, and he said she was killed by an illegal alien. But according to CNN, Nancy Pelosi reacted to Biden at lip moment using the word illegal. Instead of undocumented, in reference to a Venezuelan migrant who is the suspect in the death of Lakin Riley. Watch this from CNN.
It's not about him. It's not about me. I'd be a winner. Not really.
I'd be a winner. Goodbye. Oh.
Lincoln Riley, an innocent young woman who was killed by an illegal. That's right. But how many of the thousands of people being killed by illegals? To her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you, having lost children myself. I understand.
Now, you should have said undocumented, but that's not a big thing, okay? Well, what's the big thing about
that? I actually wasn't even going to ask about that. I was just going to ask more about the moment. But you do think that he should have said undocumented? That wasn't going to be my question.
Well, we usually say undocumented. Uh-huh. He said illegal. I don't think it's a big deal.
Okay.
I don't think it's a big deal.
But more broadly.
Because I think his focus was on the sympathy for the family.
Yeah.
It's a terrible tragedy.
Oh, Lord. They don't care about other people. Not one iota. And why can he say illegal instead of undocumented? Because illegal make it let you see that it's real. Undocumented sound nice. It's like they cover up the word evil and call it post-traumatic stress disorder or depression instead of evil. And I'm wondering out loud, is this the best we got? Is this what it has come to? And I want you to watch how phony this female is. And I'm wondering, as soon as the camera was turned off, did she go have some grits? This is from Fox. I was thinking about how Joe Biden was speaking there. It sounded like Joel and I. can't read at all. I want. But this was pathetic. Fox is reporting that Republican Alabama State Senator Kate Britt pulled no punches as she delivered her party's rebuttal to President Biden's State of the Union address. Tisha, please. Watch this from X.
The true unvarnished state of our union begins and ends with this. Our families are hurting. Just think about Lake and Riley. This beautiful 22-year-old nursing student went out on a jog one morning, but she never got the opportunity to return home. She was brutally murdered by one of the millions of illegal border crossers President Biden chose to release into our homeland. Y'all, as a mom,
disgusting.
I can't quit thinking about this.
Oh, Lord, you
lie. I mean, this could have been my daughter. And tonight, President Biden finally said her name. But he refused to take responsibility for his own actions. Mr. President.
Oh, Lord.
Enough is enough.
Yes, Mama.
This is the United States of America. And it is past time, in my opinion, that we start acting like it.
Yes, Mama. A bunch of crap. And she has a daughter and she's working? This could have happened to my daughter. If you cared about your daughter, why don't you stay home and raise your daughter? You don't have to worry. You got a husband, I guess. Amazing. All emotions, all lies. That was fake and weak. Can't you see her when they turned the camera off? Oh, how did I do? Was it drama? Was it enough drama? Did they see my cross? I opened my shirt so they see my cross. Was I emotional enough? Yes, ma'am, you were great. Can't you imagine that? Watch what they're saying about Joe Biden on MSNBC after last night. This is from WPDE.com. MSNBC anchor called Biden fit and trimmed despite mounting mental fitness concern. Watch this from MSNBC.
I think he's better than he's ever been. Intellectually, analytically, because he's been around for 50 years. And, you know, I don't know if people know this or not. Biden used to be a hothead. Sometimes that Irishman would get in front of the reasoning. Sometimes he would say things he didn't want to say. This version of Biden, intellectually, analytically, is the best Biden ever.
Oh, Lord.
Not a close second. And I've known him for years. The Brzezinskis have known him for 50 years. If it weren't the truth, I wouldn't say it.
Yeah, right. If this is the best, we're in trouble. I would hate to see the worst. The interesting thing about a lie, once you believe a lie, you cannot believe the truth. Really. And the only way that you will ever believe the truth again, you have to look inside yourself and want the truth, and the truth will come and save you. You have to really want it. I want you to watch, speaking of once you believe a lie, you cannot believe the truth, watch this compilation.
Do you think that President Biden is mentally fit for office?
That was a partisan report, and President Biden has been absolved of any criminal wrongdoing.
President Biden is absolutely
rich of the West.
Fit. Trump is the one who is crazy.
With the low IQ.
I think he's the one who's a liar. He's the one who has proven that he cannot be trusted.
President Biden has proven himself to have a strong memory.
I would prefer an elderly man over an elderly man who's just chaotic and crazy and has 91 felony counts awaiting him.
There's no doubt in my mind that the president is mentally fit for office.
No. I'm not talking. He's sharp, he's fit, and he's always answering questions.
The only person's mental health that I'm concerned about is Donald Trump's.
It's dangerous to have a president like Trump who grabs women by their private parts and mimics and mocks the disabled, lies, cheats. I think that's what's dangerous.
Amazing. This is what's running our government today. Does that give you hope or fear? Well, have no fear. Fear, salvation is here. NBC is reporting. Donald Trump said Wednesday, it is important for the good. It is important for the good of our country that Joe Biden and I debate issues that are so vital to America and the American people. Therefore, I am calling for a debate anytime, anywhere, any place. I'm calling for debates anytime, anywhere, any place. Have no fear, salvation is here. Hope, help is on the way. Help is on the way. I gave you all the darkness in the beginning. Here's some light. This is from Oprah.com. Some of you might remember this. I do remember this. Donald Trump teases a presidential bid during 1988 Oprah show appearance. Watch this compilation.
Would you like to be the president of the United States?
I really don't believe I would, Ron, but I would like to see somebody as the president who could do the job, and there are very capable people in this country.
Most people who are capable are not running for office. Most men are frightened of politics today.
It is a shame, isn't it?
Yes.
It is a shame. The most capable people are not necessarily running for political office, and that is a very sad commentary on the country.
Why wouldn't you dedicate yourself to public service?
Because I think it's a very mean life. I would love and I would dedicate my life to this country, but I see it as being a mean life, and I also see it as somebody with strong views and somebody with the kind of views that are maybe a little bit unpopular, which may be right, but maybe unpopular, wouldn't necessarily have a chance of getting elected against somebody with no great brain but a big smile. And that's a sad commentary for the political process.
Would you ever?
Probably not, but I do get tired of seeing the country ripped
off. Why would you not?
I just don't think I really have the inclination to do it. I love what I'm doing. I really like it.
Also, it doesn't pay as well.
No, it doesn't. But, you know, I just probably wouldn't do it, Oprah. I probably wouldn't, but I do get tired of seeing what's happening with this country. And if it got so bad, I would never want to rule it out totally, because I really am tired of seeing what's happening with this country, how we're really making other people live like kings, and we're not.
Amazing. In that first video you saw there, Donald Trump looked like one of his son's age. His son looked just like him.
Amazing!
He was 34 in that first one. He looked like one of his sons. It was amazing. Help is on the way. Watch out, November 2024. But believe me, the devils will chase him down. All the way to the pole. But have no fear. Salvation is here. Acting like animals. Human beings treat each other worse than animals treat each other. They go below the animals. Don't you question why? It's because it's good versus evil. An evil human being have nothing else to do but try to destroy other human beings because Satan is their God. They don't forgive. God said forgive. Satan said hate. Satan said go after. Headlines.com. Headline. While men make up around 50% of the U.S. population, of the U.S. population, they comprise nearly 80% of suicides, while men make up around 50% of the population. They comprise nearly 80% suicides. What went wrong? What went wrong? What is wrong? That's evil, folks. That many men committed suicide, it should be all over the news everywhere, but I don't even hear anything about it. My producer gave me this. That's the only way I know about it. 50% of the population made up by men, around 50% of the U.S. population, 80%, nearly 80% committed suicide, taking their own lives. Men, you got to learn how to deal with the issues of life, because Satan is working in your mind and emotion, and you have fear, and he's telling you to kill yourself, take your own life. But then he also uses other people to encourage you to do it, his children. But you don't have to do it. Stop listening to the voices of the mind, of the imagination. All thoughts are all lies, all the time, about anything. And since you're not guilty of anything, you're neither good nor bad, why take credit for the devil's work? You got to be strong. You got to be willing to stand alone. You got to be willing to let go of anyone or anything. Don't be attached to anything. Don't get a sense of identity from anything. You got to know when to walk away. You got to know, and you will if you live in the presence of the Father. Fox reported that a Pennsylvania woman sent unrelenting texts urging her ex to kill himself until he finally took his own life. The estranged couple fought about money and custody of the child. Watch this from CBS.
According to state police troopers who were part of this investigation, they say some of the bullying and messages were the worst they've ever seen in a case like this.
This is the next level or the most extreme amount of bullying that I've seen, read about, heard about anywhere, where someone is constantly telling someone to end their life.
35-year-old Mandy Roush of Greensburg is accused of telling her ex-boyfriend to take his own life on several occasions. The messages threatened the ex he would never see their daughter, owed Roush money, and some messages contained explicit images, videos, or themes.
You're talking about probably the three of the biggest triggers you could have when it comes to trying to make someone feel awful.
Troopers were called out to the man's apartment in June of 2021 after friends became concerned about his well-being. The Westmoreland County DA says Roush's ex may still be alive today if those messages hadn't encouraged him to take his own life.
My God, if we're going to start prosecuting people for sending harsh texts to one another versus it being verbally communicated, then we're in a different path in our legal system.
Amazing. Now, I was thinking about that. That was, if it's true, was evil for that female to do that. Of course. That's why she did it, because she's evil. That's why people try to hurt one another and themselves, because they're evil. That was evil, but you can't really blame her for doing it. What was wrong with him that he allowed another human being to affect him in that way? The problem with him, the problem is inside of him. What was wrong with him that, if it's true, he allowed someone to convince him to take his own life? Yes, it was evil for her to do it, but it was evil that he did it. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt like killing yourself? Satan said, you know what, you might as well just take your life. You're not worth anything. Nobody cares about you. Everybody looking at you. You might as well take your life. That's what the devil does. And he uses other people to encourage that. And he works on your mind to influence you to do that. It's spiritual. That's amazing, huh? You can't blame that woman all the way, because, yes, you were doing evil work. if that's true, her heart is evil if she did it. But something wrong with his heart, he fell for it. If it's true. Fox News reported at least once she sent him a video of herself having sex with another man and referred to other men as the new dad of his daughter. If that's true, he was too attached. He was too attached to her. She was his god. And she knew it. If she sent this type of video to him, she knew that she was his god and she could hurt him. Stop making idol gods. You shall have no other god but God. God wasn't playing about that. Every other god would try to destroy you and will in most cases. Human beings are evil. They lie in wait to see who they can devour. Because they're evil. Their nature is evil. Trust no human being. Zero. Not even your mama and your daddy. Only trust the Father. And believe me, in doing that, you'll be able to enjoy, you'll be able to hang out, but you won't identify with. Amazing. She told him somebody else, your dad, a new dad for his daughter. But if he wasn't attached to the daughter, he was like, oh, okay, y'all can have her. And last report on that, Fox was reported two days before Father's Day in 2021, he wrote to his friend, it's bad. It's bad. It's really bad right now. I can't do this. He left behind a suicide note, which began with, maybe she's right, or maybe she was right. Maybe she was right. The devil got to him. You might well kill yourself. Your daughter got a new dad. This woman sending you pictures of herself. She writing you, you might well take your own life. So you're like, go ahead. You might well do it. A voice that sounded like his, emotions that felt like his own, but they were not. Human beings are evil. You're dealing with evil, and they've encoded, sugar-coated with fancy words, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder. They have covered up evil by giving it different names. So all you, and you think all you need is a pill. Nope. A pill will not solve spiritual issues. You got to overcome the anger, and you need a renewed mind. All thoughts, all lies, all the time, and they are never yours. You don't create thoughts. You're not the owner of them. The voices are not yours. They're all evil. The so-called good one and the bad one. A spiritual battle. Do what you want. And a lot of people are waking up to this. They just didn't know. And once they heard the truth, something rang clear in them. They're like, oh, okay. That makes sense. And then to others, they're like, uh-uh. They reject the truth. They love hell. And they love trying to keep you in hell with them. All who come through the mother have issues, right? But they think their issues, oh, my issue is a little better than theirs. Let me bring them back in hell with me. What a mess!